So we are there now. Welcome everybody. Thank you for tuning in to all of the people who are online and the people we will hopefully have here physically. So first, I'll give the word to Chris.
Hello. Thank you for being here. Thank you that you came to enrich our program with your live stream.
You arrived just in time. We're gonna explain what we're doing here. So welcome to the Void pop-up streaming session platform. But first, what is the Void? The Void is an experimental audiovisual publishing platform for artistic and political research, part of the Institute of Network Cultures. We ask several kind of questions, such as how can we expand the language of video into a research and publishing method. Overall, we want to think about video differently as an event, as a place of conversation like the one we're having here, rather than as a final product or as a post you just put online. And today we're here at Remix Festival, who very kindly invited us to have a conversation with several different practitioners who are presenting right now and have different practices related to archiving, both using the archive as a tool and as a methodology. And during the entire day, we're gonna have conversations with them and host them and play around with the different affordances that this setup allows us to have. And with that said, I'll leave you to Tommaso, who's gonna explain this cable, very, very aesthetically pleasing cable-ness.
Thank you. Wanted to thank you again for inviting us, and just to say this is the second time we are doing this. Void started 2 years ago in a studio, but at a certain point we decided that it was important for us to also go outside of the studio and to start doing pop-ups TV practices. So thank you so much for inviting us and to give us the opportunity to continue. And I'm gonna try to kind of give a bit of the tech menu here, like what's happening. Just for the audience here, you can see like the output in that monitor that is basically the live stream on Twitch. So for the people that are watching on Twitch, well, that's what you're seeing. But then I can give a bit of the same thing for the people on Twitch to what's happening here. And I think we have this very nice webcam that you can see. So that's the live. The monitor that you have in front of you is the desktop. And from the desktop, you can see this webcam. There is a bit of a loop at the moment. And this location is blue, and I don't think it's a random color. I think that, you know, the blue and the green screen were the two main colors for removing the background, and we are using this in this exact moment. So you can see the green screen, the desktop behind us. In front of me there is a mixer in which there is the audio that goes in the space, but also takes from the laptop and goes into this little machine here that is basically doing the whole work of the live. So we are not streaming with the laptop. The laptop is just an input. And the entire live, it goes from here. So it's completely automated, even though you can see there are a lot of cables and there is a lot of manual labor behind it. So then there is the audio and then there is the video. And the video, it's made of different inputs. There is a camera there. There is the input from the computer. There is going to be another input from a computer, some from VR stuff that we're going to do later. And there is the video inside the computer that is the webcam. So it's another loop. And of course, it didn't mean to be a workshop. It's just a lot of random words and tech stuff. But this is just to say that actually the whole idea behind this is that we want to make this visible. We don't want to hide the tech part behind the scene. Usually when you go to a live event, there is someone in the back room with a lot of equipment doing the live stream and doing the directing part. But the idea here is to embed it during the event itself. And also we would like to give a bit of the possibility both to the audience here, but also to the people that will be interviewed to play a bit around with it. Because I think we want to experiment with the idea of, well, live event, but also live editing. So here there is a console and you can switch between things. And it's actually just very straightforward. But this is what you can see behind without the keying, a lot of blue. But then if you press key, there is another background. And yeah, this is gonna try to be a session of also collaborative editing, or let's say more experimentation, and let's see what is gonna happen. We're gonna be live from now until 5, and you're welcome to pass by both online with comments and offline with questions or interventions. And I think in a few, we're gonna have our first interview.
Hello, hi everyone. I'm really happy to be here. Like, this is my first time on The Void. And closer, okay, sorry. Now you can hear me. I'm really excited, actually. I'm kind of familiar with this kind of setup because I'm part of a collective that's called Ukraina TV. And we also play a lot around with the green screen and keying and, I don't know, putting something different in the background. And I'm really proud of our team for making this, I don't know, place so cozy and familiar for everyone. I hope you are enjoying it and you are kind of, I don't know, inspired to take a seat. And you are more than invited later if you want to participate. I will display ambience in VR that you can play from this laptop, so you can also participate in this sense. And it will be live and streamed. So yes, I will pass the word maybe to Clara and or everyone. We just do a round. Okay.
Hi again. Yes. I'm Tommaso and I work as a researcher at the Institute of Network Culture. We all work as a researcher there. And well, I'm interested in video experimentation, but also publishing. And I really do think this is, even though publishing is a can give you to different lens and idea, I think this is definitely a way of publishing things.
I'm Jordi. I'm also a researcher, and I'm also interested in how can we make different spaces to socialize and to create sociality with technology, especially with video. And this is, of course, a place of experimentation for this, right? Making just different and experimental spaces and conversations with tools that maybe we know, but that we normally don't use it in this particular kind of way.
Hey, everybody. I'm Clara. I ended up here because I'm kind of like separately interested in video art and separately in self-publishing practices in different formats. So obviously, the Void project is really intriguing to me because it kind of combines like hybrid publishing with like audiovisual experimentation. And yeah, those are basically the themes that I'm into. But yes, I also work with the Institute of Network Cultures, as do we all, as a researcher and like artist. So yes, thank you.
Yeah, hi, I'm Chris, and I work at the Netherlands Institute for Sound and Vision, and I'm a program maker here. I've created this program together with my team to actually invite artists into the archive and to actually take out the elements out of the archive that they find interesting. I'm interested in how the archive engages with artists, because actually we keep old works, but how do we go about and how do we communicate with artists who are creating the works now that later might be in a museum or an archive collection? And also I'm interested in how artists use digital archives, so it's not only like a fragment out of a video or a film, but the data and the information that's hidden behind an object, and what kind of creative potential there is. So it's actually an explorative event on how we can build relationships and how can we exchange a knowledge that there is between artists and the archivists. And we use also a lot of analog material, we'll use digital material, we combine that. Maybe we reproduce things on analog material that we made digitally before. So it's about this, I think. Yeah. And well, and last thing, of course, publication is a very important part of creating an artwork or archiving or communicating something. So this is very nice that you came here to actually do a live publication session.
Thank you for having us here. And with that, we'll wait 15 minutes. After this, we're gonna interview Archival Consciousness, Mariana Amrenko, who are gonna talk to us about their project, but that will start at 1. In between,
it's gonna be videos.
Videos. Or should we do some video game? We can ask the audience. Do you wanna play some video games? Sure, okay.
Sure. shall I put it here?
Yeah.
Thank you.
Thanks a lot.
Thank you.
Thank you.
See you later.
Yeah.
We can do. But maybe we can, like, keep the conversation going throughout, or no. Maybe I can interview the void now.
Okay. So Clara, you want to interview the void?
Yeah, I was thinking to fill the space, it would be nice to have a little interview about what is the void truly.
What is the void truly?
Yes.
So the void started a year and a half ago at the Institute of Network Cultures, as we mentioned, and we really had nothing clear. We just wanted to do experimentation with video. We more or less had an idea of making like a video podcast and playing with like the different possibilities that a video podcast can give you. And also kind of like doing an online TV. I feel like we were very much inspired by not that void. Yeah, we were inspired by like alternative TV, and also this very kind of like 70s, 80s vibe of self-organized TV. And then eventually it has evolved into a lot of things. We've done several projects, also collaborating with different local artists here in Amsterdam. So for example, this one here, this is a project we did with Times Capital, but I was looking for this work. Anyhow, an artistic group, Times Capital, and basically it's an index for self-organization in the arts. They interviewed different artists, self-organized artistic spaces in the Netherlands, and they basically compiled them, archived them, and asked them about their different practices and how did they organize themselves. And from that, we made a video, and also, there you go.
What's Tsotsi? Tsotsi.
Koesi.
Yeah.
Where we get the money from. Mm. and that is very important, like what we're seeing right now.
Yeah. No, actually, I wanted to do an intervention. On our right, there is a gaming session. Mm-hmm. So I was thinking that maybe while we talk about the void, which you can find everything on our website, we can put the game in the background.
There you go. But put us on top.
Yes.
There you go.
So two things at the same time.
Yeah. So here we have, I mean, the audience is playing with this 3D environment made by Julia. We want to show them, but we can't because they're playing the game.
Yes. No.
We have, this is actually, this is what we need to figure out, like what things to show, what things not to show, and how to work with this entire space. Because I kind of feel like this entire space is like as if we were inside of a camera, right? We are inside the machine, and we have to figure out from inside the machine how all of these different things work, and what are the results that the audience is seeing, but also what particular kind of actions these results entail in here. So, for example, right now, if we want to switch to the webcam mode, I have to figure out... First, let's go cut. We can do some keying in here. And then you can see over there people from the audience and Julia playing. But for example, we cannot view the game and them at the same time.
No, we cannot. But we can try to do this.
But I think we lost track a bit. Do you want to make more questions about the Void?
I have a question. So the Void is also somehow about like an oversaturation of interfaces, as I understand, or like a simple interface with an oversaturation of like views or perspectives. Does that in any way like reflect your ideological beginnings, you know, like having all of these different like screens and inputs, like does that have anything to do with like the potential multifaceted view on the topics you're dealing with? Like does the medium here like transcend the content?
He has an answer.
No, it depends which day you ask. When you build, like yesterday when we were building, mm-hmm. Yes. Today, not really. In the sense of like, what's happening here, it's, I think even more than what was happening at the beginning, that we were inviting guests, shooting, but then also creating some sort of collaborative publication, right? In which like they were coming with an idea, we were trying to facilitate, but not only like, technically work with that, but also together, content-wise, work with that. Because we really think that, you know, when there is some editing, editing is part of the content creation, in a sense of like, this is alive, it's streamed, but even if it's streamed and there is no cutting or editing, for example, the thing that we just decided to put the game in the background is a curatorial decision, right?
Bye.
Thanks. And so this is to say that it's not really only the technical part, but that is part of it. And I think we want to just, you know, unveil it in a bit because it's very hidden. And in that sense, we want to make it visible. But making it visible, we want to also to make it usable, not just for few geeks as we maybe are, but like to open it up a bit more. And you also have an answer.
I mean, I absolutely agree with what Tommaso was saying. For me, it's also, I feel like I like it. I like the oversaturation as an aesthetic. That's a simple answer. Like, I just like it. The more complicated answer, there is something to say about like revealing the interface, not only on like the material level, so revealing all of the different infrastructure we have here, the cables, the mixers, but also revealing all of the different software and interfaces that we're using to make an image possible. So it's kind of like an image that unfolds itself, right? That it's kind of like self-reflects in this feedback loop that shows its own creation on the image. And I think this leads us to like the second part, which it's always like I have the stance that every image is about its own creation. or it deals in a way with its like with how it is itself created as an image. So I'm very interested, or we're very interested as a void, as underlining the creation or the moment of creation or the moment of production of the image, so such as here as a studio, as a very relevant moment rather than something that has to be sacrificed for the final product, right? That has to be sacrificed for like a nice or pretty image. We are more interested on how using these technologies or with the excuse of producing a specific video or specific streaming, specific image, we create a moment that is very real. So yeah, it makes sense.
Nice, thank you. So as I understand, like the emphasis is then in like real time and like capturing a moment or making a space in which like the software and interfaces are like put like brought to the surface and sort of made central to kind of like building this space. Like what role does then editing take? Because like obviously the idea is also to like collectively edit with like this little console.
It's not showing.
Oh yeah, never mind.
There you go.
Yes, so collectively collectively editing with this interface that we have here. You were now talking about like emphasizing the moment, the real time, and this being the principle. So I wonder, like, how would you like go deeper into this, into the idea of like editing or curating the content that like our viewers can see? Like, so there's like a sort of dichotomy between the editing, the simple editing here that we're doing collectively, with the fact that there is no editing because it's all live and in the moment.
I mean, I think there is a tension that we still need to solve about the people at home and the event happening here. So precisely because this is not, you know, it's edited live and here at the moment, whatever people are watching at home, it's not like, you know, it's not filtered, it's not curated. So that makes the viewing experience maybe not the most comfortable one or more the easiest one. So in a way, it's kind of like we are, there you go. We are giving, right now we're giving privilege to this moment, the onstage moment, rather than to the moment of like people viewing at home. So we're kind of putting into question what is the position of the spectator and how does the spectator influence what's happening here. But at the same time, there needs to, at some point, we need to strike a balance, right? Because I think, this is not the most spectator-friendly thing.
Do you imagine that you would like take the recording of this session later on and like edit it further for anything that you might want to use? Like, do you think this like thing, this like space that we're now building is going to go in the future through like multiple edits?
Tommaso, do you want to answer this?
just because I will have to do it. No, yes, but also depends. That's the nice thing of the life. Like, you have this stream, you have this event, and then as any event that you record, then you have the possibility of cutting part of it. But let's be honest, even if it's a standard event and you have a live stream, it's very difficult to watch afterwards. Yeah. So in that sense, yes, this is probably even a bit worse, but at least it's more engaging for both the online and the offline. This is a very silly answer, to be honest, but at the same time, like, yeah, I mean, it really depends on who is sitting here and if it's feel comfortable. And then after that, then there is, okay, what to make use of it. Was it a nice experience? And we can, you know, like take a part of it and re-edit, and we could even split all these inputs and remake something completely different out of it. But I think what the goal is at the moment is to bring everything together during the event, and then the after, it's a bit not on the table yet. But I think it's actually thanks to this question that like we will have to, you know, think about how to engage with the post-production.
But also, if I may add, I feel there's something to be said that, okay, now we're gathering all of these videos, all of the content that we're going to stream here, and we're going to have it somewhere in a hard drive. But also, I feel like this experiment is an experiment on maybe not saving up all of this video, maybe not using it for anything. I guess this is a topic we're going to talk with the different practitioners today, you know, like the material and environmental costs of saving stuff, of keeping it, of archiving it, or keeping it in our hard drive. So I think, I mean, now we're going to save it. So, but I think there's also something to be said about just streaming it and then not doing anything with it, just deleting it.
So maybe that brings us to like the next question, which has to do with like what, you know, the idea of live streaming. Like, what is the purpose of live streaming? There's so many live streams going on all over the world, like right now with like two or three viewers. Like, it's often such a like under engaged with like format. However, people are still find it conceptually to be very important. So I was wondering if you could like elucidate a bit more regarding like live streaming as a medium. Like, why is it essential? Why do people use it? Like, why do you use it as a format? What can be gained from it? And is it like essential even if there's no one on the receiving end of the live stream? So as an image, you know, for itself.
I feel like you could say some things about this, if you want to, about live streaming and liveness, Julia.
Yeah, actually, I wanted also to add another question, but I can give my kind of opinion about this, because you were saying, you were saying that there is kind of a tension that's unresolved between, you know, the viewers home and the, you know, viewers in real life. And I think, like, from my perspective and what, you know, also my team in Ukraina TV does, it's like prioritizing the live, the physical live in a way, or at least like the engaged live. Like when we did a session on WeChat, you know, it's like it gives the possibility of people around to connect, even if they're not physically in the same place, because always there is also this concept of the hybrid togetherness that it's kind of brought up. And in this situation, I will choose for the physical, and you know, it's not that, sorry viewers at home, it's not to say that, but as I see it, it's more an event, so it's not enough to be engaged in the chat or, I don't know, like the feedback after. Of course it's important, but it's not about this, it's about being really active in that practice. So maybe it's not about the viewer itself, but also different channels to engage with it. Also, if you don't have the privilege or the occasion to be in the same place, because also we need to count that sometimes it's impossible for, you know, all these people to be there and to be there for all the time. But even like if it's a passive way of viewing it, it's still not passive, because I think if someone is engaged with the void, it's not because we are spending so much time on social media and promoting it, but it's because, you know, they know it and they are interested, so they anyway will give a feedback at the end. Or this is how I see it. It's more about prioritizing this, you know, being together in an active way for how long as you can. It's not important. But yeah, I think at the same time we're not aiming to be famous on Twitch or something like that. Actually, we're putting in discussion the platform we use, so how to reach people without using always the mainstream channel. But that's also another topic.
I can add more about liveness, but maybe just a small comment about thoughts on liveness. I think that every medium has a form of liveness. So even when you grab a book, right? A book is a text in potential, but at the moment you open it up and read it, you are performing an encounter with the book. And I feel like liveness or streaming just underlines that encounter, right? That this part that every medium has, that's not about safekeeping or archiving or like putting it, like storing it somewhere, but how can we just foster all of those different encounters that media allows us to have. And I think also that will connect to several different themes we're going to talk about today, about opening up archives, making archives alive. So I think there's a connection between liveness and streaming and all of these conversations about opening up archives and how do we make something more than storing. And now Remco and Mariana are arriving. Yeah, come on in, hop in.